Well, welcome everybody, man. So thankful that you're here today, whether you're in person with us or online, man. We're just thankful that we get to worship together today. We're going to worship now through the Word of God. And so if you have a Bible, would you turn to the book of Acts chapter 19? We're going to see what God's Word says to us today about living in an alternate reality, okay? So for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be teaching you about an alternate reality. That alternate reality is the kingdom of God. But I want you to learn about this. My hope is not that you somehow, you know, decide you're going to come to church more in the coming year, not even that you're going to do better. My prayer is that somehow in the next few minutes, supernaturally, what has been taking place will continue to take place, and that the Spirit of God begins to speak into you, open up your blinded eyes, clear up your clouded mind, soften your hardened heart to begin to move in you so that you begin to live in a different way. I'm not trying to do better. I am becoming a different person. And today we're going to learn to live in an alternate reality. Now, if you Google alternate reality, here's the definition that will come up. A hypothetical self-contained plane of existence coexisting with your own. There's your own plane of existence, but then there's this other one that you believe in. Some call it a parallel universe or a different dimension. If you go to the Urban Dictionary, which you got to be careful about going to the Urban Dictionary, but if you go to the Urban Dictionary, this is the way the Urban Dictionary defines alternate reality. It's where what you think is real is completely different from what the majority of the population thinks is real. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Alternate reality is when what you think is real is different from what everybody else around you may think is real. Now, we've seen a lot of movies about alternate reality. Just a few of them would be movies like The Butterfly Effect, Doctor Strange in the Marvel series, right? The Truman Show, Inception, Groundhog Day, a Christian movie, The Chronicles of Narnia, based on C.S. Lewis's writing. You need to watch that. It's very, very overt in its message about the parallel universe that we live in as believers in this world. And then there's one that's one of my favorites called The Matrix. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Matrix. There's a new one that just came out. It's actually the fourth in a series of movies from back in the early 2000s. But the movie The Matrix is about this universe, this reality, and it's an artificial intelligence reality where the people actually think they're living a particular life, but the truth is they're all slaves, and they're all captive in this matrix. And yet in the movie, and there's some like really covert and yet explicit Christian parallelism in it, there is this one guy named Neo who actually begins to be the one who breaks out of the matrix and begins to set other people free from the matrix. And so the matrix can't stand him. They're trying to get rid of him. And yet he is introducing people to a new reality, right? And so there are some characters in there that you would recognize as going, oh my gosh, this is like right out of the Bible or something. It's kind of a parallelism of the spiritual fight we're in. Now, here's what I want you to say. The scripture teaches you about an alternate reality. A lot of people don't believe in it, but we believe in it as a people of faith. This alternate reality is called the kingdom of God. It's a different dimension, and yet it is quite real for you and me. Now, I'm going to draw something on the board. It's not going to be very good. Those of you who know my family know everybody in my family can draw but me. I can't, but you're gonna understand what I'm trying to say while I scribble. Y'all good with this? Okay, so here's where we're gonna start. We're gonna start in Genesis 1 and 2. In Genesis 1 and 2, there was reality. God created Adam and Eve. He'd created everything, and he put a man and a woman on the earth, and he said, I want you as my image bearers to multiply and fill this planet with my glory. And that was an awesome plan. There was unbroken fellowship with God, and there was unrestricted flow of the kingdom of God in Genesis 1 and 2. It was amazing. But then something happens. Something happens, and it's called in Genesis 3, right? We have the fall. Now y'all are like, yep, I sure do see why you can't draw, Chip. Everybody else in your family can draw. And there's the fall that happens. And whenever Adam and Eve choose to disobey God and disrupt the unbroken fellowship that they had and the unrestricted flow of the kingdom of God, the earth became cursed. So there's a reality, and that reality is now the earth and all of us are under a curse. Now think about it. This is what the Bible teaches us about reality, the world that you live in under the curse. Satan, sin, and death reign. Scripture says that under the curse, there's a loss of spiritual life and connection to God that no amount of religion will ever resurrect. There is a living of our lives in the flesh, and we live our lives by the flesh and many times for the flesh because there's no other way for us. It's just reality for us. Many times for us, there is no peace. And love proves to be elusive in this new reality where all of us are selfish. We're all takers. We're all deceivers, and we live divided from one another. We are oppressed because of our sinfulness. We are oppressed by Satan and sin. We're held captive so that in reality, in the real world, people cheat in business and call it just doing business. We deceive in relationships and we break each other's hearts. We act selfishly in sickness and addiction and violence and anger and anxiety and fear and worry and pain are just a part of this life. You would say, welcome to the real world, right? I mean, that's just the way life is. How many of y'all have ever been in church and it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, but I'm gonna leave and have to go back to the real world? Y'all ever say that? All right, we're in here practicing alternate reality, but out there, in the real world, it is a mess. And that's going to continue until Revelation 21 and 22, right? At that point, the Bible says, the return of Jesus is going to usher us into a new reality that was Genesis 1 and 2 all over again, just better. A new heaven and a new earth. Y'all with me? That'll be a new reality when Christ returns. But the question becomes, do you have to live in the reality under the curse until Christ returns? Are you just stuck living in this loveless, truthless, joyless, divided, hate-filled, violent, everybody seeking our own stuff world? Are you confined to live in that reality, that matrix? Well, the scripture teaches us that Jesus came, a new one, a different one, born into our matrix, born into this world where we're all held captive, and yet he breaks out through his incarnation, God among us, his passion, his suffering and death for your sins and mine, and then his resurrection from the grave and his ascension into heaven where now he pours out his spirit into us. Jesus has ushered us into an alternate reality, right? An alternate reality where you don't have to wait till the end of time to experience a different reality. Now, religious folk are looking to the end of time. I can't wait till Jesus comes back and I can finally have heaven. All right? That's religious talk. You don't understand what you're saying when you say that. Yes, we want heaven to get here. We want to go be with Jesus one day, but you don't have to wait till Jesus comes back to experience alternate reality now. That was the message of Jesus. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, hey, man, when are we going to get down there to when everything's made right again? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. He's saying, if you can believe it, I'm here and I am bringing an alternate reality called the kingdom of God right now. Right now, go back to my drawing. Right now, Jesus comes, right? And he gives us an alternate reality. And that is the kingdom. And it's going to be fully realized over there. But right now, there's an invitation to every single one of us to stop living in the real world and to begin to live with an alternate reality that nobody in your class may get, nobody in your group may get, nobody at your workplace may get, nobody in your fraternity or sorority may get. Listen, there may be no other church that gets it, but I pray to God we get it. That we're not called to come here and then just go back and live in the real world as best we can. No, you're stinking commissioned with, and I'm trying to be nice, you are commissioned with actually living in and bringing an alternate reality in the middle of this real world. Come on, that's the heart cry of God today for you. That in the alternate reality, There's spiritual life and connection to God that you've never had before. You get to live in the Spirit and by the Spirit, not in your own strength and for your own flesh. Light and truth and peace and love and joy in the Spirit are not only present, but they are increasing right now if you want it. You're free from oppression from the enemy, and you're free to follow Jesus and experience this alternate reality, his kingdom come, even right now. Now, there are only two kinds of people in this room right now, only two kinds of people watching and worshiping with us online right now. I'm reading through in the one-year plan. I'm in Genesis and I'm in Mark. And in Genesis, you see it immediately that there are only two kind of people on this planet. There are those who walk with God and those who don't. Those who master sin and those whom sin masters. Which one are you? You walking with God? You learning to let him set you free day by day? Or are you walking away from God in your own strength and you are getting eaten alive? Only two kind of people. That's it. I'm boiling it down to you. That is the bottom line. I'm reading in Mark 5. Jesus is introducing this kingdom and he comes across this guy who is hopelessly demon-possessed with 1,000 demons and nobody can tame him. Nobody can handle him. Nobody can control him. But one word from Jesus to those demons and he says, you gotta go, you gotta go, you gotta go. And they had to go. Why? That was reality for him, was oppression. But in Jesus, there was an alternate reality that came. You with me? Come on, there was a lady who was hopelessly sick. She's impossibly sick. It's her reality. She spent all of her money, seen every doctor, the natural healers and the supernatural healers, every kind of witch doctor, every kind of whatever you want. She spent all her money and she's still sick. That's real. And yet she comes up and she touches Jesus and he heals her and ain't even trying to. He didn't even know it was happening, and yet he felt the power go out. That became an alternate reality and she experienced it. Then he's encountered by a man whose daughter is hopelessly dead, impossibly dead. And everybody's laughing when Jesus said, I can handle this. I can do something about it. And he introduces resurrection life because he has alternate reality power. Come on, I know I'm throwing a fit a little bit, but I'm just trying to get you to wake up. To wake up a little bit. And say, come on, we gotta quit living in reality and start standing in the alternate reality that God has made available for you and me through Jesus Christ. Yes. Now around here, we call this idea of living this kind of life, we call it Jesus-centered living, right? It's the 4-3 circle drawings. And so the big picture of that is this, that Jesus is the center of my salvation, identity, life, and authority. And so when we talk about salvation, we talk about how God has a design for us, Genesis 1 and 2, but sin broke it, and now we live with reality. But by God's grace, he sends Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel, that he can recover. We can recover and then pursue this design. All you got to do is repent and believe. Trust in Jesus, and man, I'm in the alternate reality now. And with that comes a brand new identity for me. That I have a body, a soul, and a spirit where I'm conscious of the world, I'm self-conscious, but I'm God-conscious. The Spirit now is inside of you as a believer. You have the Spirit of God who makes you alive. He's your receiver. He's the one that allows you to be in touch with this different dimension. He's the one that empowers you to overcome the way you used to think, the things you used to want, and even the things you used to choose. He's changing you from the inside out. That's the way we begin to live. Inside out, not outside in. We got something that's changing us. We're not looking for something to bring change. Y'all with me? Come on, it's our life now. We live our life in the third chair. We don't live separated from God. Jesus ain't in our life and we're in control. We don't live with Jesus in our life, but I'm still calling the shot and he's a part of my life. We live life now surrendered to Jesus in my life, on the throne of my life. He's calling the shots. God, whatever you say, that's what I want to do. Because you are the one who leads me. This is now my new alternate reality, and I stand in God's authority that my life is now hidden with Christ in God, and the devil ain't got no say-so over your life. He has no authority. You now have the right to rule. You can draw near to God and resist the enemy. He has to flee from you. You now have the ability through your words to speak, to pray, to call forth, and to bind things, and the Spirit of God empowering you. You're God's highest representative on the earth. God is actually bringing his new alternate reality through you. We'll talk about it next week. But you with me? Come on, this is the Jesus-centered life. This is normal life for you and for me. Now, here's what I know. It's possible for you to live in reality and not alternate reality, even as a believer. possible for you, even as a believer, to be living in reality, man, I'm living in the real world, but the way that you're living your life, the way that you're dealing in your relationships, the way you're handling money, the way you face your problems, the way you address your own ambition is just like everybody else living in reality. You have the same goals, you have the same little g gods, and you have the same guilty pleasures, just like everybody else. What we need is not religion. Religion is just a part of the reality of this real world. It is not what God designed and intended for you. I'm reading in the Gospels, and I'm seeing that these Pharisees, man, had rules and they had regulations out the wazoo. I mean, they had their religion on point, but they didn't have Jesus. And actually, they would rather have their rules and regulations than have Jesus, because they were in control of the rules and regulations. Jesus was wild. They know where Jesus was going to take them. And so they killed him. I'm reading about how Jesus is doing these impossible miracles. There's nothing that he can't fix, no dead person he can't raise. He's healing, he's setting people free, and people absolutely love it. Line up it for hours waiting just to see him, just to touch him. They want their healing, but I find that as soon as they get their healing, they don't want the man. They just want the healing. And so I'm just wondering, are there some of us, we like religion better than we want a relationship with Jesus because I can control the religion. But Jesus is a little bit wild. There ain't no telling what he might ask me to do. Is it possible? Can I ask you, would you rather you or your friend or your family member, would you rather them have a healing 100% guaranteed, but they would never have Jesus? Or would you be more excited if they had Jesus, even though they would never have a physical healing on this planet? Reality or alternate reality? Where are you living? What are you wanting? Confessionally, I bounce back and forth, unfortunately. There are days when I really live in alternate reality and I love it and God's so present and real. And there's sometimes when my flesh gets in the way or life gets in the way and I go back and forth. And I don't want to do that. I want to live in alternate reality. I want to stay there. Some of you are like, dude, I didn't even know there was one. I didn't even know there was an alternate reality. It's like a foreign language to me right now. That's why I wanted you to find Acts chapter 19, because I think a lot of us are that way. Acts chapter 19 tells a story about some guys who were very, very religious, believed in God, had actually been baptized as in repentance toward a hope that one day there would be a kingdom coming, but they had no idea about the alternate reality being here already. Acts chapter 19, verse 1, Paul's in Ephesus. He meets some brothers who believe. They've been baptized with John's baptism. And in verse 2, he asked them a question. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now listen, the answer for all of us is, according to the New Testament, The question is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? The answer for us believing in Jesus is yes. You believe in Jesus. The Bible tells us that in that moment, when you turn from sin and turn to Jesus, the Bible says his Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You believe, the Holy Spirit comes in and makes you alive and makes you new. And by the Spirit now, you can actually be enlightened with a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 1:17 goes on to say, by that same Spirit, Ephesians 3:16 says, you can be strengthened on the inside in your inner man, even though your outer man may be decaying. Ephesians 3:16 says, by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we think or ask. We quote that, God, you can do it, but he does it according to the power that works where? Say it, the last two words. Say it where? Yes. Within us. The Holy Spirit's in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave now dwells in you and makes it possible for you to live in an alternate reality. Now you can grieve this spirit, Ephesians 4 says. You can still live in reality and sin and miss this alternate reality, but you can also, Ephesians 5 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit and live in the fullness of God's presence as much as you can right now until he comes. You need to do spiritual warfare in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit at all times, Ephesians 6 says. Pick up the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Y'all feel me? Come on, you with me? Stop living in reality, let's start living in alternate reality. Those guys should have said, oh yes, we did. But the problem is they hadn't believed in Jesus. They had just gotten John's baptism. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Acts 19:2 goes on to say, they said to him, no, we didn't receive the Holy Spirit. We hadn't even heard there was a Holy Spirit. Man, we didn't even know there was one. So Paul says in verse 3, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Now remember, John was before Jesus. John's saying, there's a guy coming after me. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. So they're baptized into that faith that one day a deliverer is coming. That's their faith that they had. They don't know nothing about no Jesus. that Jesus actually is here. So Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul says, John's message is, you believe there was a guy coming, and whenever he comes, he's going to break you out of this reality and let you live in an alternate reality. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is here. Amen. He already showed up, and it's already a done deal. And by his spirit presence, you can already begin to live in a brand new reality, an alternate reality. And then brother said, well, baptize me then. And can I say to you, my brothers and sisters, hey, baptism isn't a ritual that we do at Pine Lake that's empty, that really doesn't mean anything. Please understand what baptism means. Baptism means you're saying, I'm done living in reality. I'm done living under the curse. I'm done living life my way. I'm buried to that old way, and I'm being resurrected to a new life, a spirit life, an alternate reality. Come on, some of y'all need to do that. You've been putting it off, waiting on the time. What are you waiting on? Come on, step into your alternate reality right now. Step into it today. Say, Jesus, I'm here. I'm ready. Let's go. Acts 19, verse 6 says, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. This is good news, actually, for us, that Paul lays his hands on them, and the Spirit now is on them, and here's why. I don't have a whole lot of time to go down this rabbit trail, but for some of you, I need to. All right, this is the first time Paul lays his hands on these people, and they receive the Holy Spirit. They've believed in Jesus. They've been baptized into Jesus. Now Paul lays his hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit, and that's evident because they're starting to speak in languages they don't know. They're starting to prophesy and speak the things of God that wouldn't have come out of their mouth any other way, but now the Spirit of God is in them. That is a descriptive thing, not a prescriptive thing, in my opinion, because when you look at the book of Acts, and here's where that matters, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Yes, you did. As believers in Jesus, you got it. But there are some people who look at, you know, people believed, and then Peter would come lay hands on them, and then they would get the Holy Spirit. So you got to have a second baptism. I don't believe that. I believe that in Acts, when Peter would lay hands on people, every time he did it, it was a movement of the gospel from Jerusalem to a new group, to a different group, to a further reaching group. And what God was trying to say to all of us is, what you get when you believe in Jesus is what they got whenever they had the day of Pentecost. You get that same kingdom. You get that same alternate reality. And whenever you believe in Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit. Now, you may not have known that, but we're going to deal with that in a minute. But you need to know that it's been made possible for you now to live in an alternate reality. Verse 8 says that he entered the synagogue and continued to speak out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. He's trying to help them know there's an alternate reality. And honestly, that's what I'm doing with you right now. I'm not trying to give you a sermon that you go home and go eat and go, oh, well, that was a good sermon today. That ain't it. I'm trying to reason with you and to persuade you to quit living in reality and to start living in an alternate reality, to stop living life the way you've always done it and to start living life surrendered to Jesus, welcoming his Holy Spirit, seeing and believing in stuff that your friends and family do not get, and it does not matter right now. You do. You do. Don't be held back. He's reasoning with them and persuading them. Verse 11 goes on to say God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul, so that handkerchiefs and aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and diseases left them and evil spirits went out. Now, please hear me. A lot of guys have taken that, and they have made a lot of money on TV as preachers selling you prayer cloths. Don't buy them. That is not what that verse is about. That verse is about Paul saying there's a new reality here. The curse has been broken. And the power of Jesus is so potent, so powerful, that whenever you come across a kingdom bearer who's a kingdom bringer, their very presence can break that curse. That's what that verse is really about. That verse is saying the curse is broken. There's a new alternate reality, and it's proof that you can step that way and come that way. It's here, y'all. I've got a friend who likes to do Rosebud Thorn as a way of kind of breaking the ice with people you haven't talked to. And so this is our first time this year. So I'll do a Rosebud Thorn for me of some things going on in my life. Your rose is something that's going good. Your bud is something that you have hope for. Your thorn is something that's maybe a problem. And so I've got a bud in my life, something that I'm hopeful for. One of the things I'm hopeful for is a conversation I had a couple of months ago with a friend of mine who's having marriage trouble. And we're on the phone, and he is lighting his wife up. Y'all got friends like this? I mean, he is lighting her up. She ain't doing this and she ain't doing that and she's always and she ain't never and blah, 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 blah. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? You ain't got to look at them, but y'all know who I'm talking. Y'all know what I'm saying. Whenever marriage is in trouble, man, we blame the other person. And I'm torn because I love this guy on the phone with me, but I know he's on the wrong track. He's living in reality. And so he finally runs out of breath and he runs out of things to say about her. And I said, bro, I love you. But let me tell you something. You need to take a different approach. You need to let her go to God and you need to let God help you to cut your own grass. She's gonna have to cut her grass. You gotta cut your own grass. You need to let the Spirit of God begin to work in you to change your heart, to give you love where you don't have love, to give you patience where you don't have patience. You become a different man, you can have a different marriage. And he said, you know what? I think you're right. Thank you. That's a bud for me. I'm hopeful at what's gonna happen now because they're doing marriage hard, but they're doing it. He's doing it in a different way. Got a thorn. My own flesh can be a thorn. Things don't go my way. I can get jacked in a minute. I can just be mad in a minute. I told y'all last year at the end of the summer, I came back from Wyoming and me and God were trying to get this alternate reality thing down and me living with an awareness of his presence and I wanted it so bad and I was having a quiet time one morning. I'm on the couch and me and Jesus are thick, man. I mean, it's right, it's good. And then there's a knock at the door and the repair man, remember my shower's broken and Calvin comes in and I'm like, Calvin, here's the shower and me and him look at the shower and the shower, I mean, he turns the water on like that and I feel like an idiot and I tell Calvin, see you later. I go get on the couch. Y'all remember this? And God's like, what was that? He didn't come to fix the shower. I wanted you to speak a word to him. He didn't come for you. He came for himself. Y'all remember that? So he's like, man, I go back out there. He's like, Calvin, what's up, man? And he's there. And man, it's a God moment. But that ain't the only thing that happened that week while I was there. One night I went to dinner and there's a restaurant I wanted to eat at. And long story short is they didn't have the item that I wanted on the menu anymore. They had changed it, and so I was going to go to another place. But I was being aware of God, and I said, like, God, you know, that was a wasted trip to that restaurant, but at least you're with me, and your presence is here with me. You're in the car with me right now. I didn't leave you on the couch. You're with me. So, God, that was good, but I'm going to Teton Village. I'm going to go eat at the Mangy Moose. Doesn't that sound like a good place, the Mangy Moose? Let's go eat at the Mangy Moose. So I'm going to eat at the Mangy Moose, and I park, and I'm walking up. There's like a party of 7 or 8 people that are with me, and so we all walk up there, and there's no line. We walk right up to the hostess, and they say, a party of 8, and the little girl says, okay, let me go get you a table. So she goes, gets him a table, and I'm standing there. But there's a new guy who's standing at the deal, not the hostess, but a young guy, and he looks like a bouncer. He's just standing there. And I'm like, hey, it's just me. And I don't know if he hears me or not, because he's just looking at me. And I said, hey, just one. He said, you can go to the bar. And I'm like, man, I get you, but I'd really like to sit at a table, prefer to sit at a table. And he goes, there's a wait. Like, there's a wait. How long is the wait? 45 minutes. I'm like, bro, there's empty tables everywhere in this place right now. That lady up there singing is so God-awful. Ain't nobody going to show up in here and eat but somebody like me. I'm just telling you, that's the honest to goodness truth. I'm like, dude, there's tables everywhere. And beside that, I just walked up with that other group, and they just walked up and said, how many? They said 8, and she went and got them a table. He said, well, we texted them. They had a reservation. You got to sit at the bar. Come on, anybody in here feel what I'm feeling right now? I'm like, dude, this is freaking crazy. And so I went over to the bar and had a seat. And Jesus stayed in the car. You with me? That's my thorn, is I got to figure out how when things don't go my way not to get triggered by that and bow up and go off on somebody. Okay? I do have a rose. I want to end on a good note. Don't want to end on a bad note. So do have a rose. Christy and I were coming back from our missionary care retreat, trying to get back home. We got delayed, and we didn't make our connection flight in Atlanta to come to Jackson. So we were looking at spending the night. We weren't having to stay in Atlanta. And the way that kind of stuff works when a lot of people get, you know, bumped like that, you got to stand in this line and hope that the airline will actually say it was our fault and we'll put you up for a night. Otherwise, you're going to be sleeping in an airport somewhere. And so we're standing in this long line. People's patients are shot. They're gone. There's a girl, 2 people in front of us. She ain't having it. She's a young girl, 20 years old. She got this military backpack on. She is giving that dude on the other side of the counter. She's giving him an earful. She didn't get her way, whatever. She's finna have to spend the night in this hotel, and she is going off on him. I want to know your name. I want your badge. I want to know where the manager is. He said, I am the manager. Didn't go too well for her, and so she's just bent. I looked at Christy and I said, whatever we do, we ain't gonna do what she just did. Whatever she said, let's don't say that, right? So we walk up there, tell them our plight, and they actually give us a voucher for a hotel. And so we're about to go down the escalator, go get on the plane train, and we look over there, and there's this young girl about our daughter's age sitting over by a column, just bawling her eyes out on the phone with somebody. Christy and I look at each other like, what are we gonna do? We're like, we can't just leave her. So we go over there. She gets off the phone. We say, are you okay? And she starts to tell us, you know, she's serving in the military. They've been in Louisiana working on disaster relief. And she had, time to get away. And she was trying to get back home to Ohio. She just missed her last flight. And they won't give her a voucher. She said, and I battle with mental and emotional health issues anyway. I'm triggered. Come on, some of y'all know that just triggered us. Because you know our story. And so we say, this little girl comes out, turns out her name's Bailey. We said, Bailey, this may sound really, really crazy, but we got daughters your age, and we would want people to help them if they were in a bind like this. And so, Bailey, we got a voucher to go to a hotel. We're about to get a taxi and go to this hotel. We would love to pay for the taxi ride and pay for you a hotel room if you would like to go with us. And she said, okay. Now, word to all my people out here, all you young ladies, if a strange couple walks up to you and says, hey, we'll pay for a taxi ride to a hotel, want to go? You say no. We don't, I don't play that game. I ain't doing that, right? Okay, that's what you should say. You should say no. But Bailey said yes. And so we're on the way and we get to talking with her and you'll know about her family. And her, she's lost her brother. He was had an addiction battle and he lost that battle. And man, that's bothered her. And man, we just said, Bailey, we don't think it's an accident that we're here. We just want to bless you. God's blessed us. We want to bless you. Get her a room. The next morning, we said, hey, look, you can ride back to the airport with us, 5 a.m., man. You can be back down here. And so a couple hours later, we're back down there, and my wife sitting with Bailey is just amazing. She just has this supernatural ability to look into people's eyes, and she said, Bailey, I just want you to know that God sees you. He sees what you've been going through, and he saw you in that floor. And Bailey, he sent us here to tell you he sees you and he loves you. And Bailey says, I've been so mad at God. And I've been saying to God, if you want me to believe that you're real, you're going to have to give me a sign. And she said, I think y'all are my sign. Amen. Christy and Bailey exchanged phone numbers and social media names. And a couple of days later, Bailey posts on her social media this Bible verse. It says, weeping, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I don't know about you, if you ever just known you were in a moment where there was an alternate reality that just happened, but that was it. And it just makes me think, God, I'm supposed to live there. Why do I ever go back to reality when I'm supposed to be living in alternate reality? Talking to my friends with spiritual conversation, not just saying, yeah, man, you're right. Why do I blow it and leave you in the car and on the couch so many times when Jesus, if I would just let you be right there with me, give me your eyes. God, there are a lot more Baileys and Calvins out there who need you. Come on, church, do you understand what I'm saying to you? That Jesus is offering you an invitation to quit living in the flesh, by what you see under this curse, just swapping wounds with other people under the curse. And he's inviting you to be healed by the healer and to have the healer with you and his Holy Spirit to begin to change you so that you begin to usher people into the alternate reality that you now live in. Why don't I live in this alternate reality? Honestly, sometimes we're just dumb. We didn't know. You're like the guys in Acts 19. I didn't even know there was one. I'm not hating on you. You just didn't know, but now you do. Amen. Now you do. Now you know there's another way. Sometimes just because we're distracted, the things of the world, my flesh, the appeal of lesser things gets to me. Jesus talked about that. He talked about how the sower goes out and sows the word of God. And some of that seed falls on the thorns and the briars, right? And what does he say? Mark 4:19, the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things enter in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So many times you have wanted to live in alternate reality, but life got in the way. God's talking now. I like it when he does that. For those of you who don't know, it just thundered outside. So like God speaking. Isn't it true though? We get distracted. You've been distracted. I've been distracted. Sometimes it's because of darkness. The enemy's still attacking us, and the curse is still around us, and we still live in a fallen world. We're in the world, not of the world now. And hard circumstances and opposition can cloud or block your experience of the spiritual kingdom. And all of a sudden, you just begin to wonder, do I really have any authority? Does God really care? And doubt creeps in, and I lose my faith, and I get frustrated and disappointed with God because my prayers don't seem to be working, and God doesn't seem to be answering. Life's not going like I thought it should go, and so I'm just so discouraged. And I start to live in reality instead of standing in the alternate reality that God is good, and I'm going to see a victory. May not be yet, but I'm going to see a victory. The battle belongs to the Lord. He takes what the enemy means for evil, and he can turn it around for good, even if it doesn't do like I thought he does. That's what we've declared today. So God is inviting you to stay locked in, to step into alternate reality and to stay locked in. Now, how do you do that? I gave you some D's. Let me give you some A's. Here's how you do it. You got to accept Jesus. Please hear me. What you need is not to come to church, not to get back in church, not to, you know, read the Bible. No, what you need is you need Jesus. Jesus is the one. Acts 19. Them boys had religion. They didn't have Jesus yet. When they got Jesus, they got the full package. You don't need religion. You need Jesus. You don't need to do better. You need to rest that Jesus has already done better. He's already done it all. You don't need more rules and religion. You need a relationship with Jesus. That's what you need. That is the introduction to alternate reality. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. What's his name? His name is Jesus, which means salvation. What's his name? His name is Christ, which means he's the deliverer. What's his name? His name is Lord, which means he rules over all things. Jesus, you are my salvation, my deliverer. You're the ruler. I am in alternate reality with you. I live in this world, but I'm not of this world anymore. Y'all with me? Accept Jesus. That's number one. You got to do that. That's where you start. That's the on-ramp to alternate reality. Then you need to anchor in God's word. Anchor in the word. One of the things I love about the Matrix is, even though it's covert, the people's names are just speaking of spirit truth. The Savior character is Neo. He's making things new. That's what Neo means, it's new. His helper is a girl named Trinity. Father, Son, and Spirit, the Trinity. The one that they get their direction from is called Oracle. Whatever Oracle says in the Matrix is gonna happen. Write it down. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. You may not be feeling it, but you need to trust it. You know what oracle means? It means the spoken word. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. That word oracle in Greek is spoken word, the utterances of God. In Acts 19, verse 10, the scripture we're looking at, it says this took place for 2 years so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, Jews and Greeks. Paul said, man, y'all got to get in the word if y'all going to live in this alternate reality. So for 2 years, he's teaching them the word of God. Can I say to you, please hear me, accept Jesus and then anchor your life in the word of God. Yes. I think that means you need to be in church, but more than that, you got to have more than that. You're not going to eat one meal a week. Come on, look at some of y'all and tell you, you're going to eat multiple meals a day, right? We are. We're going to eat. Our body craves that. Our body needs that. You need more than just Sunday. You got to get one of the 5 Bible reading plans on our app. If not that, man, find another one. But you got to find some way to get this book into your heart. Podcast. Listen to somebody teach you. Read a daily devotion. I don't care. But the word of God, the Bible says in Psalm 119:105, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Now, here's what I need to say about Bible reading, because in church it became this thing I used to check on my envelope. That's a throwback for some of y'all who got raised up in a Baptist church where you checked your envelope. Became a religious checklist. And here's what I want to say to you about reading your Bible. I don't want you to read the Bible like it's a burden or an obligation. I want you to read this word like it's a fountain for your thirsty soul in the midst of a dry desert. I want you to read this book, not but like it's rules and crap you gotta do. I want you to read this book like it's a love letter from somebody who loves you beyond your wildest imagination. I want you to read this book like it's a compass for your feet from somebody who sees more than you see and wants to direct your steps with security and provision every single day. This word drips with the goodness of God. This word explodes with the power and the truth of God in your life. I don't often quote Joel Osteen, may not ever quote him again, but he used to say this long time ago, "This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do." That's fact. That's fact. Anchor in the Word of God. Accept Jesus. Anchor in the Word. Abide in prayer. Now, I'm going to teach on prayer at the end of the month. We're going to be doing P28 in the month of February, praying for 28 days. So I'm not going to say much about prayer today. But listen, Jesus lived his life out of his prayer life. Prayer is talking to God, yes, but more than that, it's communion with God. It's receiving from God. And the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Abide in prayer. Keep on communing with God all day long. And then here's the last thing. Be aware of the Spirit. Be aware of the Spirit. The reality of these two worlds, the real world and then the alternate reality, the world of flesh and the world of the Spirit. Paul asked those disciples in Acts 19, did y'all get the Spirit? They're like, do we need? No. But now they do. And they begin to live in a new way. Jesus was received the Spirit when he was baptized. Go look up Luke 3. He was filled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. Go look up Luke 4. That's the way he lived. And guess what he wants you to do? He wants you today to receive the Holy Spirit. Even if you're a believer and you've already got the Holy Spirit in you, you need to welcome the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my life. I receive you into my life. You make me new. You've made me alive. I didn't even know I was alive in you. I didn't even know I had this receiver, but now I do. And I'm asking you to change me from the inside out. Fill me. Fill me up. Lead me daily. Empower my life and my living. Why am I talking about alternate reality with you? Well, because it's Sunday. I got to talk about something, y'all. We're going to have a bunch of Sundays, you know, the rest of the month. You got to preach on something. But I'm talking about alternate reality because I'm tired of living life in reality. And man, I pray that we become a people who don't just live church life in reality anymore, in our relationships, in our jobs, and our ambition, and our sins, and our goals, and our little g gods, and our guilty pleasures are just like everybody else's. A form of religion and zero power. That is not what God welcomes us into. That's not what Jesus died for and resurrected for. He came, he lived, he died, he rose, he pours out his Spirit because he's thrown open the door. The temple veil is torn. Come to God. Come to an alternate reality. Not rules, come to your Savior. Not to do better, come to the Holy Spirit. Come today. I want to close by praying with you, and really I want you to pray. God's with us. He's here. And so this is what we do when we come to this house of prayer is you need to talk to God now. You need to talk to God now. Have you accepted Jesus? And if you have, listen, more power to you. Thank God for his salvation. But if you've never accepted Jesus, come on, today is a day you step out of reality and into alternate reality. Would you confess your sins and say, God, I am a mess on my own. I am dead. I'm under the curse. And I saw it today, and I don't want to live in reality anymore. Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Holy Spirit, I receive you into my life. Would you pray that right now? If there are doubts or questions in your mind, if you're really in God's family or not, receive him right now. Do it again. I'd rather you receive him again and not need to than for you to really need to, but not do it because you thought you did it one time when you were in high school. Jesus, I receive you. I accept you into my life. Be my Savior and my Lord. Would you welcome the Holy Spirit now? A new identity in Christ? That you're a son or a daughter that you've been made spiritually alive, that His Spirit dwells within you. You have now the receiver, the mechanism by which you get to connect to the spirit realm, this alternate reality. Would you just pray, Holy Spirit, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus. That's Ephesians 1:16. Holy Spirit, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to change my thinking. I'm asking you to change the things that I want. Take bad desires away from me, Jesus. I ask you to take bad desires away from me. Give me holy desire. And God, I ask you by your spirit from the inside out to give me a will that chooses to surrender and follow you. Come on, would you let life be not you demanding God do what you want, but would you just with open hands say, God, I hold my life, my living, my days, my loved ones, my job, my health, everything, I hold it with open hands. God, you're good, I trust that. God, I'm looking forward to Revelation 21 and 22 when it's unbroken again and all things made right. But God, right now, I surrender everything to you. I trust you. And I want to walk in faith with you. Lord, help me stand in my authority. It's a delegated authority. It's under you. I can't tell you what to do, but God, as much as you're telling me what to do, what to pray, what to say, how to live, how to stand, how to fight, God, I want to take my place full of faith, knowing I'm protected and provided for by Jesus. His blood speaks a better word than the enemy. His blood speaks a better word than any oppression. I take my authority and I resist the enemy, and God, I stand in you and I draw near to you. God, would you let your kingdom come right here? Just a second, I'm going to close this prayer. We're going to stand up and sing one last song. It just talks about, man, we're going to praise the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who've made all things new. And I pray that your worship becomes a weapon, that it drives out anxiety, that it drives out the darkness, that it becomes your strength today as you praise. And while we're doing that, there are going to be some friends of mine in the front of the room or online with you if you're online. They would love to pray with you, encourage you, help you any way you need it. Maybe you just need to come rejoice, or maybe just kneel down at the front and say, I just need to spend a minute yielding my life to God in a fresh way. Whatever that is, would you walk to the front whenever we stand and sing this song, or would you text Jesus or pray or enter the chat? They're online. Father, I love you. We love you. God, you're growing us. Thank you. Thank you, God, you're patient with us. You haven't quit on us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're making all things new. And I thank you, Jesus, for throwing open the way for us to live in this new reality. Lord, let your kingdom come now right here on earth in our lives, even as it is in heaven. Jesus, we pray for a brand new year, but God, we pray for a brand new outlook. God, we live in a new reality. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you and we worship you now in Christ's name. Amen.